نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم أنفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. We will look at Surah Sajda, Ayah 15 to 18. We learned about those going to Jahannam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill it with those who are disobedient, those who are upon disbelief, and those who transgress from the men and the jinn. And from the jinn who are disobedient and deniers of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill Jahannam with all of them, and they will become fuel of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forget them just as they forgot the day of meeting with Allah. Now we see the mention of believers. In the Quran we see that wherever deniers and disobedient and hell is being mentioned, we find mention of Jannah and those who are obedient to Allah and are mu'min. Both are mentioned side by side. Mention of Jannah gives us encouragement to do good, and then mention of Jahannam or hell makes us fearful of that outcome. Both are needed as reminders. We will begin looking at Ayah 15. Ayah 15 is an amazing ayah, because in light of this ayah, we can check, when we say we believe in Allah and the Quran, who are the ones who truly believe are like this, as Allah mentions in this ayah. We learn the qualities of those who believe. And if we too are believers, we should have these qualities. It cannot be that a person is a believer and doesn't have these qualities. We can check ourselves in light of these ayahs. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا. Indeed, believe in our ayah. الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا. Those who, when they are reminded of it, referring to the ayat as mentioned, when they are reminded. Here, ذُكِّرُوا has two meanings. The first meaning is remembering as one remembers. When does one remember? When something is forgotten. The second meaning means mentioning, so zukkiru means mentioned. We look in light of both meanings. First is remembering, when something is forgotten. إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا. When they are exhorted with it and reminded, what do? خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا. They fall down in prostration. خَرُّوا means falling down in prostration. وَسَبَّهُ. And they celebrate the praises, بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ, with praises of their Lord. فَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And they do not act arrogantly. When these people forget, anyone can forget, no matter how learned someone is. Forgetfulness is a part of every person. So when they forget, they get reminded by their friend or companion. For example, if someone faced a loss, and a person starts talking negatively and complains, then his friend may remind him that, don't you remember Allah has mentioned this in the Quran? As a person forgot for a little time, so as soon as he was reminded, we see their reaction and learn. There are three reactions. Harru sujjada, they fall down in prostration. What is this a sign of? This is a sign of humility and lowering oneself, obedience, submission. So they immediately submit or bow down. When the person is reminded, they don't say, what do you know? Stop with your reminders, but submit immediately. وَسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. And they praise Allah with tasbih. What is in tasbih? Praising Allah, mentioning his greatness. They say, I am grateful to Allah for you reminding me. All praise is to Allah. Only Allah is praiseworthy. We are ones who forget. They accept the advice immediately, in respect of ayahs of Allah, because they believe in them, and they do not argue in response. وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ And they do not act arrogantly, not saying, we don't need to know, or we know everything, who are you to tell me? Takabbur, or arrogance, is considering oneself and their own intellect greater. They do not do this. They do not consider themselves smarter than anyone, nor they refuse to accept advice from anyone, saying, we already know everything. So they, as soon as they are reminded, they do tasbih and do not act arrogantly. Previously, we learned in Ayah 12, Nakisu ru'usihim, what will the criminals do when they return to Allah? They will lower their heads and their faces and submit to Allah. They will submit in the hereafter, while those who believe submit in this world. Such a difference. Everyone will have to bow to Allah, but some will bow and submit there when they see the reality. And then there are those who hear ayat of Allah, then they bow down and submit to Allah in this world. They do not stay stubborn upon their mistakes, nor say, what we do is right. They show humility and recognize their shortcomings. Because when they do sabbahu, they praise Allah and admit their own weaknesses, that they are wrong and only Allah is pure and perfect. Even in sajda, a person bows down and is not stubborn in saying, what I do is right. Whenever they are reminded, they do not blame others or put them down. And if anyone forgets, they remind them. Those who have belief in the ayat of Allah and the Quran, as when someone admonishes us or reminds us, what is our behavior? If our behavior is not of submissiveness and humility, and we get offended or give excuses or become more arrogant, then it means there is lack of faith in the Quran. What was the conduct of the companions in this regard? Once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was speaking in a gathering. He announced that the mahar, or the bridal money, given to women should be reduced. One woman stood up and said, O Umar, what right do you have to set limits on a mahar? As Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that even if you have given them treasures, do not take it back. It means man can give this much as dowry. How can you reduce it? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa of that time. He didn't respond by saying anything except, in this city, everyone is more knowledgeable than Umar. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was told to fear Allah, he would put his cheek on the ground and would say, really, Umar should fear Allah. They never said, who are you to tell me this? Be fearful yourself, or no need to advise us. Do your work. He is from the 10 Ashura Mubashara, those who received good news of entering Jannah in this world. From his time, a woman stood up and said, today, because we have arrogance within us and do not tolerate advice from anyone, if anyone admonishes us in the light of an ayah of the Quran, and that Allah has said this, what would we say? Allah wants to end any arrogance that is in us. Our level of faith should be such that whatever Allah says should supersede our wants. Whenever a person does anything good, do they say, I did it, or it happened because of me, or I worked so hard? In that case, that deed will never reach Allah, and it was wasted because of the I, Whoever has a strong relationship with Allah, and there is no arrogance in the person, they will be grateful for the opportunity to do good. They will never say, "I did it," or "only I could have done it." Rather, they feel grateful that Allah found them worthy to be used in His path, whether it is something small or big, not showing off how hard they worked. Only one who does not have self-grandeur will gain closeness to Allah. But for this, we have to stop being arrogant and get rid of the feeling of self-greatness within us. We all believe that nothing happens without the will of Allah. But at time of doing work, sometimes we only see our own skills, hard work, our own striving, and our own knowledge. If anyone only thinks of this, then this self-greatness has not left them. On the other hand, if we remember Allah after any accomplishment, then this is gaining closeness to Allah. A person who becomes close to Allah becomes humble because he realizes that he didn't do it, but only Allah helped him do it or accomplish, and recognizes their ability to do anything is from Allah, becomes more humble, and bows and submits to Allah evermore, and realizes own weaknesses and lack of strength, and knows Allah gave it to him. Even if he tires, he remembers Allah. He remembers that when he gets tired, he remembers that Allah doesn't get tired. And at night, when he is sleepy, he remembers that تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Even when he wakes up, he remembers that it was Allah who woke him up and then gave him another life. So in this person, the me ends as he has submitted to Allah. We see that those who are Muslims know and believe that this Quran is the speech of Allah and say that we believe in the ayat. So those with faith should have the three mentioned qualities, and we should see if we have them in ourselves. People do not even want to be reminded, and those who are doing wrong say, "Don't stop me or tell me." They do not want to be reminded about what is right or wrong. Instead of bowing to Allah, remembering Him by doing His tasbih and not being arrogant. A person who is arrogant cannot gain guidance because they consider themselves greater, their own intellect, their own knowledge greater. They do not want to accept anyone else's opinions or hear from anyone else. The second meaning of zukkiru is explaining or conveying. So whenever the ayat of Allah are conveyed, those who have true faith, they immediately bow down and do not become angered or enraged or start giving excuses. For example, if someone tells them about the commands of Allah, for example, the ruling of the hijab in the Quran, and they didn't know about it before, they do not say, "How can this be done today?" or "What do you think? We don't know," and start arguing. No, even if they are unable to obey the commands at that time, do not argue. They submit and say, "I am unable to do it right now. Make dua for me." They do not act arrogantly about them. So what is their conduct? Whenever they are advised, do they argue? Or that which Allah has made haram, they try to make it halal? Or do they submit? The believers submit. If anyone is told about their wrong, what is their behavior? Do they bow and submit or act arrogantly? Or do they say these are matters of old and make excuses and then try to make their own interpretations of the commands? Whoever believes this Quran to be from Allah in entirety, would they dispute about any of its matters then? One who believes admits their own mistakes and bows down and submits to Allah and doesn't consider their own intellect greater. They only consider the commands of Allah greater, even if it is against their own will. Many times our likes and wants are something else, and Allah's commands are something else and different. And they know if you believe in it, have to obey. But someone who believes also argues. What is important is not to argue and give excuses. We must admit right away and say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We heard and we obeyed. This is what we should say. When a person doesn't do this, then Allah takes away their tawfiq or ability. So even if anyone is not to immediately act upon the commands, they should never deny them, nor act arrogantly in front of Allah's commands. Even if they cannot do it, they should say, I believe in it. It is from Allah. I read it and I believe in it. There are many commands that we may read about and then think this is not fair and get negative thoughts about them. But despite that, we cannot give our own justifications, but must submit to the commands of Allah and say, Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. Those who believe in the commands of Allah, they know it is the truth from Allah and full of wisdom. Some people, when they are mentioned the ayat of Allah, say, we already know, you don't need to tell us. This is also arrogance, saying we already know everything. Because if they are asked how much learning they have done or how much they have studied, and they admit absolutely nothing, they say, we know it from childhood and know it from before. Well, no matter how many times we learn the Quran, a person will feel that they are learning it for the first time. Matters learned are forgotten. Quran is a miracle in that every time we learn it, a new matter is uncovered. Whoever says they know everything is the biggest ignorant person, because in reality, they do not know anything. Because if they had knowledge of it, they would know. Its knowledge is like an ocean that can never reach its depth. So these are all types of arrogance. When they are mentioned the ayat of Allah, they bow down and fall down in prostration, considering him greater, and mention his praises, and obey, and do not give excuses. These are those who believe in the Quran, the Kalam of Allah. تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجئ. Those who believe in the ayat of Allah, they remain withdrawn from their beds. They do not stay sleeping the entire night. They have humility and have such a relationship with Allah that they invoke Allah at night. When we love someone immensely, what do we want to do? We like to spend time with them exclusively. So during the time of night when everyone is sleeping, a person can speak to Allah and talk to him in a way which cannot be done during the hustle and the bustle of the day. This is time of one-to-one. These people turn their sides at night, and by remaining withdrawn from their beds means get up from their beds and then يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And they invoke and call unto their Lord with fear and hope, fearing the sins that they had committed in the past, and hope when they look towards the mercy of Allah, and fear of what other matters, that Allah will question them, and worry how they will respond, and hope in that Allah is Al-Ghafur Rahim, and hope that Allah will surely forgive them. Hope stops man from becoming hopeless, and fear doesn't let man become fearless. Both are needed. These who leave their beds at night and wake up to pray tahajjud, these are such people, they do not even consider that they have the right over their bodies. Because anyone who thinks they have the right over their body will say, how can I get up? They will worry that their bodies will not get enough sleep, and will say, I have to do a lot of work tomorrow. or getting up will interfere in my day's work, or this will happen. But who thinks that Allah has a right even over their life, their bodies, and knows it is a trust from Him, will get up at night. They cannot sleep the entire night. They sacrifice their sleep for the sake of their Lord. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This implies those who prayed the Isha Salah and Jama'ah as standing in prayer half the night, and whoever prayed the morning Salah in Jama'ah, the congregation, is as if he stood up in prayer the entire night." Very few people manage to do this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "After Ramadan, the most preferred fasts are fasts kept in the month of Muharram. And after the fard prayer, the most preferred prayer or the salah is the night prayer, prayed in time of tahajjud." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Two types of men are most beloved by Allah. One who leaves his bed and bed cover, leaving his beloved wife and kids, stands up for prayer, leaves his warm and comfy bed while the wife is on his side, leaves all of them to stand in the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, 'Look at my slave. He has left his bed and his beloved wife and children and stands in prayer in hopes of reward from me and fears my punishment.' So this is one man. And the second is one who fights in the way of Allah, then loses and turns back with his companions after facing losses. Then he remembers that running away in jihad is a big sin and turns back to continue fighting until he is martyred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his angels, 'Look at my slave, how in hopes of my reward and fearing my punishment, he returned to jihad until he was killed.'" These are the two types of people beloved by Allah. If we think about it, this is very easy. There is no need to fight. We only have to sacrifice some sleep. But sometimes this can be very difficult for a person because he considers it very difficult to leave the bed. He says this cannot be done, so much so that even Fajr is missed. So those who are consistent in praying their fard salah, then after this fard salah, the most preferred salah is salah of tahajjud. One companion, Abdullah bin Rawaha, recited verses of poetry in which he said, "Among us is a prophet of Allah. In the early break of dawn, he recites Book of Allah to us. After our blindness, he showed us the way. And in our hearts we believe with certainty, whatever he says is true. He keeps his sides withdrawn from the bed at night, while the beds of disbelievers remain laden with burdens of disbelievers, and the disbelievers stay sleeping all night." We see this in his poetry, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray tahajjud at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qum al-layla illa qalila." Stand in prayer for a little time. So the prayer of night has great significance. In a hadith, it is mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, when all of mankind will gather from beginning to end, one angel will call out, and all of the creation will hear him. He will say, "Today it will be known who are the most honorable in the sight of Allah." Then he will call out, "Those who prayed tahajjud, stand up." Then he will recite this ayah, and these people will stand up, and they will be very few in count. So we learn who are the most honorable in the sight of Allah. One meaning is the Hajj Salah, and the other is Isha and Fajr Salah that are prayed in Jama'ah. In another hadith, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if people knew about the reward of praying the Isha and Fajr in Jama'ah or congregation, they would come crawling on their bellies because of such a big reward for praying these salahs in congregation. And these salahs, shaitan makes heavy on a person. It is also mentioned in a hadith that when any of you is sleeping and the shaitan makes 3 knots on the nape or the neck of a person and blows on each knot, telling the person, night is long, sleep, and keep on sleeping. If the person gets up and remembers Allah, then 1 knot is untied. As we start doing dhikr of Allah while still laying in bed, then 1 knot is untied. Then, if the person gets up and makes wudu, then the 2nd knot is untied. And if the person prays salah, then the 3rd knot gets untied. Then he wakes up fresh in the morning. The shaitan ties these knots. We can start praying tahajjud by waking up 15 to 20 minutes before fajr, and can pray 2 rak'ahs as a beginning. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prayed the first 2 rak'ahs, would pray light and short, and then if prayed more than 2 rak'ahs, the subsequent rak'ahs would be longer. So we can first begin with 2 rak'ahs, then slowly increase to 4, then 6, then 8 over time. Inshallah, this way we can be among those who pray tahajjud and be in the list of those who pray tahajjud. So these are the qualities of those who believe in the ayat of Allah. They do not sleep the entire night. Also, when the ayat of the Quran reach their hearts, it removes the hardness of heart and arrogance, and waking up for the sake of Allah becomes easy. And how do they call on to Allah? With fear and hope. As we learned, both fear and hope are important. Some scholars mention that fear should be more in life, because when we see what should be in our lives, both fear and hope, as iman or faith is between both, so which should be more? The scholars who say having more fear is better base it from the ayat of Allah that says in Surah Al-Bayyinah, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah, because they feared their Lord. Also in a hadith it is mentioned, when out of fear of Allah, a person's hair on the skin stand up and feels a chill. This fear carries a great reward. The sins shed just as in a storm the dry leaves and trees fall off, just as we see in the fall piles and piles of yellow leaves piled up. This is how the sins are shed from the person. In another hadith it is mentioned that Allah will never be angry with someone who has his fear. So one who fears Allah, Allah will never be angry with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah says, I swear by my honor, I will not gather 2 fears on man, and nor 2 securities or peace. What are the 2 fears? If in the world a person remained fearless of Allah, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will make him scared. And if in this world the person lived fearing him, then on the day of Qiyamah, he will give him aman, security, peace. The man cannot be fearless in both places. If the person remained fearless in the world, he will face fear in the hereafter, as we'll see such things that will scare him. And if fears in this world, then inshallah will have security there. He will not be fearful in both places. It cannot be that he lives fearlessly in the world and then he will be fearless in the hereafter. Both are not collected, so he can choose where he wants to live without fear. We have to decide where we want to be afraid and where we want security. Hope and fear are both important. They can be considered as medicines by which hearts are treated. But it depends on what the sickness is. If a person is niggardly about the punishment of Allah, then he should be reminded to fear. If anyone doesn't have any worry about grasp of Allah or giving account, as most people who have no worries about it, they say, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. The scholars say, if A person is indulged in disobedience, then instilling fear is superior. But if there is despair and hopelessness and disappointment, then the person should be reminded to have hope. Both are needed. Also, if a person becomes so fearful that he cannot do anything, even in doing good, he feels hopeless and thinks he will go to hell no matter what. And then he thinks, why even try? Then this extreme fear is useless as well, and not needed. Fear that causes man to leave even trying, even that fear is bad. Vice versa, cannot have so much hope that a person thinks they can go on do whatever they will, because they think Allah will just forgive and do not care about doing good, then that too is wrong. Both extremes of fear and hope are wrong. Both are important to have in a balance. In the heart of a muttaqin, one who fears Allah, those who have piety, both fear and hope are there in equal levels. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, if it was called that all of mankind was to enter Jannah except one, I would fear that it was me. And if a call was made that all are to enter hell except one, I would be hopeful that it is me. He was very fearful, as we learn that a companion, Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was informed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the names of the hypocrites. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would go and ask if his name was on the list. Fearing is not just saying, I'm so afraid, and there is no change in one's action. Then this is not fear, just pretending. A person should be fearful his entire life. Scholars say at time of death, hope should be more predominant, because fear is something that compels a person to do good deeds. But at time of death, it is not time of actions. And if he has more fear, it will not benefit him, because time of doing good deeds is over. At that time, a person should have hope in Allah. This will give the dying person strength and increase his desire to meet with Allah. Even at time of doing good, a person should remain fearful, fearing that it was either accepted or not. If you look at the lives of the Islaf, the righteous predecessors, they were fearful their entire life. Allah has also said, indeed, the punishment of your Lord is not to be felt secure of. Mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'arij. And in Surah Tur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the dwellers of Jannah will turn to each other and converse and would say, before this, in the life of the world, we would be fearful. Allah favored upon us and saved us from the torment of hell. So those going to Jannah, their quality is that they fear the punishment of Allah and they do not live fearlessly.